I'm Jim Schultz, and this is From Theory to Practice. Man, we were down for the count yesterday, but we are back today, and it looks like you guys have done a really nice job of keeping the market above zero with Microsoft earnings and Meta earnings, Google earnings. Man, you guys did a really, really nice job keeping this thing in the positive digits as the market is very, very happy today, even having survived the most important PCE print of all time. So thank you for being part of the show. Thank you for being part of everything that we're doing, everything that I'm trying to do here on this show. Just really, really appreciate you guys, man. So if you're watching over on the Tasty Live Network, then I would bounce over to YouTube. I'd hop over to YouTube, join the discussion, hop in the chat. You can ask me questions in real time. You can communicate with your brethren in real time. You can troll me and my trades in real time. It is a good time had by most. So let's pop in here. Let's have a little look-see. Last I checked, market was looking pretty strong. So we look at the indexes really quick. We've got, let me grab my drawing tools here. We've got EMI S&P's up 57, looking pretty strong. Got the risk-free asset, also known as the NASDAQ futures, extremely high-risk instrument, up 295, almost three full honeys. There we got the boomers up 225, got the Russell 2000 futures index up 23. Lots of green on the screen. Got bonds up, you got oil up, you got gold up a couple titches. And everything is looking absolutely good. All is well in the world. Tech earnings look strong. Inflation has been defeated. And everything is good. We will be right back to all-time highs before you can even realize what happened. And so there's your market commentary. That's probably not going to help you a ton. It might help you a little bit. But I wouldn't put a ton of stake into that necessarily. So today is 21 days to go in the May cycle. Yes, in the May cycle, I believe we're at 21 days to go. So we're going to manage the portfolio at 21 days to go and do the things that need to be done, and kind of clean up the positions that need to be cleaned up. And then, of course, on the second half of the show, I'm going to get to as many questions from you all as I possibly can. So I would get them in the chat box. The earlier you get them in, the better it's going to be for you in terms of the probability that I get to your question, because the expected move on the number of questions I get to per show is somewhere between 1.3 and 1.9. So I would go ahead and get that in as early as you possibly can. But before we get into the 21-day stuff, and I'm kind of sad. It's kind of a bummer that I missed Microsoft and I missed Google. But not last. Last night was much better. But the night before last night, man, it was kind of brutal from a migraine standpoint. I don't get migraines super often. They do happen once in a while. And it was pretty bad. And so had to call it out, called in yesterday. That's right. And missed. I'm like, was it tomorrow? Was it in the future? I don't think so. Microsoft and Google earnings obviously were yesterday, so we missed that. And I most likely would have been bearish on both. So that worked out really, really well for us. But a couple of days ago, if you have been following the show on a regular basis, then thank you so much for following the show, even given the train wreck of an intro that we've got for you here today. We did Tesla a couple of days ago. So this guy was... Let's see here. If we go to the, see if I click on Tesla, bring up the Alice in Chains here. You can see that here is the trading activity for Tesla. So we did the trade back on 4/23 was Tesla earnings. So that would be just a few days ago. That'd be Tuesday. Tesla had earnings Tuesday after the bell. So we did two trades for Tesla earnings on Tuesday. We did an expected move butterfly to the upside, and then we hedged that with a short put spread, also to the upside. So that's a little finance humor for you new traders out there. That was absolutely not a hedge. That was doubling up to the upside. Well, because Tesla had a really good earnings call, it actually wasn't that good, but because the market reaction to the earnings call was actually really, really good, we had a really nice print on the Tesla butterfly the following day. And I didn't really think that we would take off the short put spread because it was so far into the future in terms of, you know, using the June cycle, which you can see right over here. You know, we sold that guy in the June cycle with like 59 days to go or 60 days to go or whatever it was at the time. And man, it came in a lot after that huge run up in Tesla the following day. So we took over a dollar out of the short put spread. I mean, the butterfly was a fairly easy, it was a fairly easy play because I knew, I was like, all right, it's Tuesday. And we did the trade on Tuesday evening, right before the bell, obviously. Then Wednesday morning comes and I'm like, all right, today I'm going to be with Errol anyway. So the next possible opportunity that I would have to be with you all to do it live on the show would have been Thursday afternoon. It would have been yesterday afternoon. which I mean, I ended up calling out yesterday anyway, so it wouldn't have worked. But on the Wednesday morning open, the price was so good. I mean, Tesla opened at like 160 or 159. And our short strike, which you can see right here, was 157 and a half. And so I'm like, all right, I've been around the block enough times on these expecting move butterflies to know that, man, you are really, really playing with fire if you get the perfect move and you decide to sit. Which is not to say that the next time I'm not going to decide to sit, because I very well might decide to sit. But if you do that, you just have to be aware of what you're signing up for. And, you know, these things can kind of slip out of your grasp really, really quickly. So because I knew that I wasn't going to be with you all for, you know, another 36 hours or whatever, I decided to take it off. And it turned out to be a really, really good move because Tesla just kept going higher, essentially. And now it's up to, you know, 170. So we would be looking at, you know, basically a full loser on this trade, maybe a tiny winner if I would have held it all the way like to now. Like, let's say, you know, call out yesterday. I don't do yesterday. I do it now. We'd probably be looking at, I don't know, maybe we probably would not. It probably would not be profitable. We might be, you know, able to trim the loss a little bit, but it would probably be some type of a loss on the trade. So with the expected move butterflies, you know, this is the reason why I really like doing them on Thursday and not doing them on Monday or Tuesday, because that way you kind of wake up on third base. Like that way, the next day you kind of wake up with, hey, number one pick in the draft. Let me scoop up a little Caleb Williams, which, oh, by the way, RIP to Caleb Williams' career because he is now a Chicago Bears quarterback. But nevertheless, it's a similar thing. It's the exact same thing, right? When you do an expected move butterfly on Thursday and then Friday, you walk into a good price and then it's going to be, you know, it's going to be really, really good for you. So anyway, that's our Tesla trade from Tuesday and into Wednesday. I definitely wanted to bring this up because, you know, I'm sure you guys were wondering what happened. I did tweet about it, and of course it was on the follow page on Tasty Trade. But just in case you don't follow the follow page on Tasty Trade, which you should, or maybe you don't follow me on Twitter, which of course you should, at JSchultzF3, then here you go. This is the full scope of what we did with Tesla. So there's Tesla. Let's go ahead and let's get rid of the circles there. Now what I want to do is let's comb the streets. Let's go down the different positions that we have on. Let's try to get through these in the next, I don't know, 8 to 10 minutes. And then let's get to y'all's questions. And then let's just do it, man. We'll go ahead and ride strong into the weekend, shooting from strengths. All right. So if we look at the very first position in terms of just going top down in the portfolio is our MCL position. Now, this is a strangle that we have on now that wasn't a strangle to begin with. We ended up legging into the strangle because MCL went down so much and it tested our short put strike that we wanted to neutralize our directional bias a little bit and kind of bring in some more premium and do some different things. Well, you can see now we're at 20 days to go on the trade. And so we're right there, right around that 21-day marker. This is the time when you want to pounce on your undefined risk position specifically. You can do defined risk too, but the spirit of this idea behind 21 days to go managing, you know, gamma risk and mitigating gamma risk is trying to really control the undefined risk and the naked positions that you have on, you know, with a covered position or a defined risk position. By the very nature of its being defined risk, you don't really have the same type of gamma risk that you would have with a naked position. So because this is a naked position, a short strangle, you know, we are obviously looking to do something with this trade here today, given the fact that we're right there at or slightly inside of 21 days to go. Looking at where we are on the trade, it's a pretty easy decision because if you look at our trade price on MCL, you know, it's a bummer with futures options. And I'm just learning this because I'm learning all this stuff with you guys as we figure all this out. There's no Alliston Chains on the futures options. Nothing, man. They're not even going to give you like a grind. They're not even going to throw you like a Dem Bones, which is like a good jam, but it's not like a Rooster. It's not like a Man in the Box. It's not like a, you know, Rain When I Die. Right? They won't even throw you like a I Stay Away, right? Which that's actually an outstanding jam, but they won't give you anything. They give you nothing with the Alliston Chains when it comes to futures options. So hopefully the devs are hot on the case, hot on the trail, which I'm sure they are because they're always hot on the trail. And hopefully this will show up at some time in the future. And so right now we have no Alliston Chains when it comes to figuring out where we are with our MCL position. So that means we have to go into, you know, the archives, the archaic, the dinosaur activity page to look at what we've done in MCL. So if I go to MCL, and this feels so like 2016, 2018. Like, what are we even doing? Like, if I look at this, you can see on April 4th, we sold our put for 213. And then on April 18th, we sold the call, which is right here, of course, for 90 cents. So if I add those together, again, I'm no Jacob Perlman, but that looks like 303, approximately. So if that's 303, then this is my total trade price in the, you know, in the overall trade package. Now, if I delete all this, some of you might be saying, hey, Jim, that was already there for you on the positions tab. It's right there. Yes, it was. But, you know, just to be make sure that we have everything, you know, in order and all the ducks are in a row, I usually like to either cross-reference with, you know, an activity tab, cross-reference with an Alice in Chains, cross-reference with all these things. It's very similar to when I met my wife. So when I met my wife, this, believe it or not, is not a Starbucks story. This is a brand new story. I don't think I've ever told this story before. When I first met my wife, she was actually in a relationship with some other clown that she wasn't super excited about. So I was like, all right, if I just wait and do nothing, my favorite strategy even back then, I'm like, this thing is just going to blow up. This thing is absolutely going to just fall to pieces if I just wait on the sideline for, I don't know, a matter of hours at this point, days. So I waited on the sideline and, you know, it popped up on her Facebook that she was single. And I was like, wait a minute, is she really single? I was like, man, there's no way. I'm like, if this girl is single, I am going to have to pounce, very much like our Tesla butterfly. I'm going to have to strike while the iron is hot. Well, what did I do? I didn't trust just Facebook. I cross-referenced it with MySpace. And so when I cross-referenced it with MySpace, she was also single on MySpace. I'm like, well, looks like I'm going to find this girl somewhere in the city of Memphis in the next 48 hours because this is not going to last very long. And so I actually did exactly that. And then I asked her out, and then the rest is history. But anyway, so when it comes to MCL, I am going to I'm going to take this thing off because we're already at 21 days to go. We've made about $80 in the trade. I mean, it's a pretty good trade. You know, we're not really looking for too much more than that. So let's just take it off. Let's be done with it. Let's go into the weekend and everybody's happy. And so we'll go for 221 on the trade. No takers at 221. So let's go ahead and let's see here. Where did my working order go? Huh. It's weird. Hold on. There it is. Let's try, I don't know, 223 maybe. All right, fill that 223. So there you go. So MCL over and done with. All right, let's try to move a bit more quickly through the other positions, which I actually think we're going to be able to do because there's only a few that we have to tend to. So MES is 35 days ago, working swimmingly now that the index is up 60 points today with, again, inflation defeated, absolutely squashed, nothing to worry about. Don't you worry. We're back to all-time highs by, I don't know, maybe Wednesday. I mean, next week. Wait. What am I doing? Miss one day, and I'm totally, totally out of rhythm. Next week, guys, look what's coming on down the chutes. I mean, we've got, this is going to be crazy, right? We've got Amazon on April 30th. We've got Starbucks on April 30th. We've got Uncle Jay on May 1st. And then we've got Apple on May 2nd. I mean, man, next week is going to be completely bonkers, right? Next week is going to be absolutely crazy. So given the fact that inflation is now defeated, as evidenced by the hot PCE print this morning, next week should be all-time highs. I mean, with Amazon, Uncle Jay, and Apple, with that tri-set, that super set, that giant set, man, we should have an incredible lactic acid burn by the end of the week. And that can only mean one thing, which is all-time highs. So that's coming. That's coming next week. So don't miss the shows for that. But anyway, let's go back to what we were trying to do. We're a little off the reservation today. But you know, speaking of waking up on Thursday, waking up on third base, you know, it's kind of weird to like, you know, have the show on Tuesday. I'm with E on Wednesday. I'm off on Thursday, and then I show up on Friday. So I was like, I got to be in the Friday mindset, which is just kind of, you know, Brett Favre throwing into triple coverage. It's like, hey, it looks kind of open to me. I mean, sure, it's going to get intercepted, but we'll give it a shot. So if I go into IWM, 21 days to go. This one is also very easy because we're at 21 days to go and we are actually at our profit target. We're actually a little bit beyond our profit target. So this one is going to be super easy. We can kind of just button this guy up and be done with it. And then that is going to be that. So this short strangle in IWM worked out quite well. So, you know, there's a bit of a pattern that's occurring here today. You've got strangle MCL worked out quite well. You've got strangle in IWM worked out quite well. And so it's almost like these are good strategies. It's almost like short premium is just a really, really, really good way to approach the markets from a trading standpoint. And so let's go ahead and let's clear away the circles. Let's close this guy down. I want to get to y'all's questions, man, because I missed you guys. It was so weird to not be with you all in cyberspace yesterday on the Thursday. And so, all right, so we're filled on IWM 86 cents. Boom, that's over, that's done with. All right, so moving on. Netflix, I don't want to talk about this. This is just our Iron Condor that we put on a few days, maybe a week ago or so. And so that guy is sitting pretty good. That guy's doing what it's supposed to be doing. And we have politely asked it to do. So we're not going to talk about that anymore. But Nike, so this is a trade where it's not an undefined risk position. It's a defined risk position or a defined risk position for all the OGs out there that have been following the show for a while. 90-95 call spread, long call spread. You've got Nike at 94.06. You had 21 days to go. You can see we're up over a dollar on the trade. So we bought it for 220 and it's currently marking for 110. And I have not made any adjustments on this. So I know I don't need to cross-reference this with, you know, an activity tab, an Allison Chains, maybe a MySpace. We don't have to do any of that. And so I know that this is going to be accurate. And so looking at the trade, it's like, well, it's not quite at my profit target yet. I'd like to get another, looks like about 60 or 70 cents out of the trade, but we are at 21 days to go. So let's take it off. Let's be done with it. And let's just move on. And that will give us more capital for next week. It will increase the size of the stacks of the cash that we are going to light on fire for both Amazon. They're not even both, but Amazon, Uncle Jay, and Apple. I mean, I foresee three plump and juicy stacks of cash just blown to smithereens. I mean, I can smell the smoke in the air right now, right? And we're like 4 days out from this happening. So don't miss the shows next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You can miss Monday. You're probably not going to miss too much. But all right, let's go ahead and let's take these guys off. Or this guy, I should say. The Nike trade. So let's see. We've got 329. Let's just do 327. Anton will get us a good fill. All right, so fill that 327. So I think Anton just took 2 cents out of our pocket. But that's okay. So Nike, over and done with. All right, so Reddit. We don't really have anything going on with Reddit. This is very much a sit and stew situation. We're not going to be able to roll this for a credit. We're at 21 days to go. I'll even show you. If I highlight both options and I right click and I go to roll, it's just going to be debits, right? I mean, it's only filling in for June right now, but that's fine. That's what I would roll to anyway. And that's a debit. So I'm going to sit tight because, you know, adding a debit to any strategy is increasing the risk, but it's particularly undesirable, let's say, with a defined risk strategy, because you're kind of doing two things at once that are both kind of on the gotcha side of the scale, where you are not only adding risk to the trade by the amount of the debit that you pay, but you are also decreasing the profit potential by the amount of the debit that you pay. Now, of course, for every gimme, there's a gotcha. So for every gotcha, there's a gimme, at least most of the time. In this situation, the gimme would be you have more time. The gimme would be you're paying for a bit more time for Reddit to come back. But there's no reason to do it yet because we still have 21 days to go and a lot can happen, especially with these meme stocks. You know, I mean, Reddit's like the originator of the meme stock. Reddit's like the source. Right, Reddit's like the mothership, like where all the meme stocks started, with your Wall Street Bets and your AMCs and your, you know, your ape trades and all that kind of stuff. So I'm not really feeling too concerned about this trade just yet. We're gonna sit tight. We're gonna do nothing. And then Uber is very much a sit tight, do nothing situation too. I think this was down more the other day, and we were up more. I think we were up maybe a couple of bucks when I was kind of looking at this on Wednesday. But I'm gonna let it sit for now, just because. It's an interesting teachable moment because we haven't done a poor man's cover put in a while. So this will be a good experiment for us moving forward. And so UNG, of course, we have our Natty Light Ice position. It's just doing what Natty Light Ice does, which is hemorrhaging cash. Like, this is absolutely an open wound that probably should be tended to, or we're just going to keep letting it bleed out. So UNG, we're not going to do anything. We're going to let it tight. And that's that. So, all right. So, wow, we're exactly halfway through the show. Man, it's almost like we had that planned. We absolutely did not have that plan, but it's almost like that. So what I want to do now, let's go ahead and let's get to y'all's questions. Man, I see you guys are very active in the chat box already. This is amazing. I appreciate you guys so much. Man, I see David Gallimore's in the house. I see Rick, you know, Castellini's in the house. I see Boston Frank. I see Rezzo. I see Brandon Nars. I see Grumpy Mike, Jonathan Sims. Man, I appreciate you guys so much. I'm going to try to get to as many of you guys as I can. So let's do it. Let's go. Brandon R is in the house with the first question. Hey, Dr. J, what's going on there, Brandon R? Appreciate you. If you have a call diagonal on and within 2 days you are hitting a 20 to 25% profit target, are you covering? I'm still bullish. This is a great question. And this kind of speaks to the bigger question, like whether it doesn't really matter what the strategy is. It could be a call diagonal. It could be an iron condor. It could be a vertical spread. It could be a short put. It doesn't really matter. You can fill in the blank with whatever strategy you want to fill in. The question becomes, the larger question is, you know, when the trade works quickly, what is the strategy? What is the overall strategy? Continue to go for the original profit target or take it off earlier because you're outperforming where you should be at that point in the trade. Right, like the research team has done studies on this with the, you know, should I stay or should I go type of segments. They've looked at this a number of times over the years. And, you know, the idea is, I don't know if they've looked at call diagonals specifically, but they've looked at short premium trades. Like, you know, if my target is to get to 50%, I can't remember the numbers off the top of my head. So this is just an example. But if my profit target on a short premium trade is 50% of max profit, maybe it usually takes me 20 days to get there. Let's just say I'm just picking a number at random. You can Google the market measures. And I would start with should I stay or should I go? Because I know that was one of the titles of like the OG seminal works on this idea from way back in the day. So maybe they kept similar titling, you know, moving forward. But if I'm at 50% of max profit on average 20 days into the trade, then maybe, you know, 3 days into the trade, I should be at 10%. And 6 days into the trade, I should be at 20% or whatever. Let's say 3 days into the trade, you're not at 10%, you're at 22%. So you're actually outperforming where you should be statistically, mathematically, on average at that point in the trade. So should you take it off? You know, you can make a really good case for either here. You know, I really feel like you can make a really strong argument for taking it off early and playing it that way and redeploying the capital in another opportunity with high IVR and all these things, or staying in the trade because now you've just gotten kind of a boost, kind of a jump start to getting to your profit target. Because obviously, by definition, right, if you are outperforming where you should be in the trade, then that means the likelihood that you ultimately get to your original target, which is further down the road, is now greater too. So you could take it off early, of course, and redeploy the capital. I think that's a fine strategy. I think that that's a very strategic way to think about things. I usually stay with the trade. I usually stick with the original profit target. And the reason why I do that is twofold. Number one, kind of onefold with two parts, or maybe twofold with two very closely related parts. So number one, when it comes to my own personal like schedule and my own personal, like I can't be in the markets like a Bob Nasnov. Can't be in the markets like a Pony Babista. I got three small kids. I got wives. I got all these different things. I got one wife, but it feels like multiple most of the time. And so I've got all these different things. Obviously, I got a ton of, you know, things I'm doing on the network with the skinny, with my show, with the crash courses, with articles, with blogs, with, you know, videos, with all these different emails. I mean, I spend a tremendous amount of time each day answering emails, which is amazing. You know, next to the show, it's one of my favorite parts of the day because it allows me to communicate with you all one-on-one. I love it. I absolutely love it. So please keep reaching out to me. I try to get back to you guys as quickly as I can, but sometimes I get kind of bogged down as I just can't keep up with, you know, the flow that's coming in, but that's okay. Keep sending them and I'll get back to you as soon as I possibly can. But with all the different things I'm doing, I can't be in the market trading all the time. So because of that, it's a little bit more apropos for my, I think that might be the right use of that word in that context. It's a bit more apropos for me to be a little more hands-off, to be a little more laissez-faire when it comes to my trading. That's the first reason. The second reason is, you know, if you are going to be taking trades off early, and I've said this on the show many times, but if you are going to be taking trades off early, you have to recognize that you are going to need even higher probabilities on the back end to make those numbers work. In order for you to be profitable overall, in order for you to, you know, hit your profit objectives, whatever they might be, you know, annual basis, quarterly basis, monthly basis, daily basis for all my Shooter McGavins in the house, whatever it might be, you are going to need better probabilities in the end. You're going to need that. Now, we're set up for that. We're equipped for that. But you just have to be aware that that is what you're signing up for. Like the win rate by hitting 50% of max profit is not going to be the same as the required win rate when you're only taking off trades at 20% of max profit or 24% of max profit or whatever. So I would probably stay in the trade. All of that to say, I would probably stay in the trade. And so now you see why the expected move and the number of questions I get to per show is right at about 1.6 or 1.7. Sorry, so Grumpy Mike says, the day is young. Still time for the market to go down, he said. Yeah, maybe, potentially. But, you know, I don't see it. I mean, it's selling off a little bit here, I guess. But, you know, I don't know. It's, you got E-mini S&P still up 54. You got the risk-free asset still up 283. And then you've got, you know, the Russell 2000 still up a strong 21. And I'm just not seeing it. I'm just not seeing it at all. And so let's see. Jonathan Sims in the house. Dr. Jim, do you still try to manage at 21 days to go when selling vertical spreads and iron condors or just do nothing and hope for 50% of profit target? Yes, because we know that hope is a great trading strategy, which I actually genuinely believe that. And I'm not going to get into why because it's going to get us totally off the rails. But that's actually a funny joke that's going around on the internet. Well, maybe we'll get into it a little bit here because it's a Friday, right? So there's a funny joke that goes around. It's really popular on Twitter. It's really popular on FinTwit or whatever. It says, hope is not a good investment strategy. Hope is not a good trading strategy. I totally disagree. And the reason why I disagree is because I genuinely think, and I'm not saying this sarcastically, I'm not saying this facetiously, this is not your typical below average humor that you guys get from me on a consistent basis. This is how I genuinely feel. I think if you were to just put on positions, whether they're short premium, whether they're futures, whether they're stock, whether you're scalping, swing trade, whatever, if you just put on a position and it's small enough to where you can basically just wait until you're right, you're going to do really well. I mean that in all sincerity. And so that kind of feels like, man, my basic strategy is hope. My basic strategy is just H-O-P-E. Like, that's it, right? I'm like, I think that's a great strategy. I genuinely think that's a really good strategy. Now, is there other things we can do? Can we be even more strategic with, you know, short premium and time decay and theta and overstated volatility? Of course, we can do all that. But I'm just talking about as a piece to the puzzle. You know, as one fundamental foundational piece to the overall paradigm of what you're trying to do, I actually think it works extremely well. But nevertheless, Jonathan Sims, do you still manage that 21 days ago when it comes to vertical spread or iron condors? I do when I can, right? So, I mean, you saw a couple of examples just happening right here. So with Nike, I had the vertical spread that was, you know, right a little bit. I was profitable. It was economically significant. It was over a dollar. I mean, that's economically significant for everybody, I think, even Abam Nasnov. And so I was, you know, checking two of the boxes. I wasn't quite at 50% of max profit yet, but because I'm at 21 days to go, I'm like, yeah, let's just take it off. I'm like, let's just go ahead and take it off and then kind of just be done with it. And so, you know, if I can't take it off for a profit like Reddit, I just sit and stew. That's where you sit, you stew, and then, you know, you can't roll for a credit. If I could have rolled for a credit because the stock was, you know, a little closer to where I needed it to be, then I would have done that too. But yeah, that's kind of how I approach vertical spreads. To me, 21 days to go is more apropos, there it is again, when it comes to naked positions, when it comes to undefined risk positions. That's where that's going to be the most beneficial for you, because the intent, the spirit of the strategy is to, you know, control your gamma risk, you know, going into, you know, or getting closer to expiration. And so it's like, I don't really have a lot of gamma risk with defined risk strategies. Now, is there an exception to that rule? Of course, there's exceptions to most rules. And I think that for this one, it would be kind of those hybrid strategies that are like technically defined risk, but have some undefined risk characteristics, like a wide iron condor, for example, or like a $15 or $20 or $25 wide iron condor. It's like, is that defined risk? Yes, technically. Is it going to feel a lot more like undefined risk than your more standard iron condor? Yes. And so that's the nature of the wider wings. And so that's where things get a little sticky, I think, in terms of, you know, is it defined risk or is it undefined risk? And so it's still just looking at 21 days to go, is it a credit or is it not? Can really help you, you know, decide what you want to do next. So hopefully that helps you there, Jonathan. So David Gallimore. Hey, Dr. Jim, what's going on there, David? I appreciate you, my friend. I hope you had a wonderful Passover just a few days ago. Is there an expected ending price? If we know the one standard deviation expected move and current price, or is the expected ending price the top of the bell curve? So expected ending price is the starting price. Okay, so I think I understand your question. So is there an expected ending price if we know the one standard deviation expected move and the current price? So the answer to your question is kind of what I went over with Tom and Tony on Monday morning with random shocks and like the geometric Brownian motion. So over any period of time, right, the expectation is that the stock price is simply going to drift up by the positive drift. That's all it's going to do. Now, I mean, what is positive drift? I mean, that's, you know, that's obviously up for debate. This is brand new information to me. I didn't know this was up for debate. You know, the positive drift for my entire academic career has always been the risk-free rate, right? And then you have to add on the positive risk premium to get to the overall market return. But the risk-free rate and the positive drift, those are essentially one in the same and synonymous from my vantage point. From a Tom Sosnoff vantage point, the positive drift is the whole market return. And so it's like, okay, I mean, whatever. It doesn't really matter. And so when you think about the expectation moving forward, it does matter actually quite a bit. Well, when you think about the expectation moving forward, the expectation of a stock price move over any given period of time is going to be where it is now plus the positive drift. Now, that's a very theoretical thing, though, because we know that over any period of time, it could be a day, it could be a week, it could be a year, it could be a decade, whatever, so many things can happen. So that's why it's like, yes, we could go back and forth and start slinging mud at each other, whether it's me and you, David, or me and Tom, or whoever, and, you know, debating, you know, what is positive drift? Like, does it, you know, how do we define this? How do we do this? How do we do that? It's like, it's just going to be an intellectual exercise. It's not really going to help us become better traders, I don't think. Because at the end of the day, anyone who's traded for more than, I don't know, 20 minutes knows that, man, there's a lot of things happening here. And a lot of times it doesn't make any sense. Right? And so how can I track this back to theory? How can I track this back to some underlying mathematical equation that the market does not appear to be, you know, obeying? It does not have, it does not appear to be behaving like it should, which obviously like it should is always up for debate in terms of interpreting data and interpreting, you know, events and things like that. And so when it comes to the theoretical though, it's always going to be wherever the price is now plus the positive drift. Now, you know, is it always going to be higher? Yes, it is, because the positive drift is baked into the cake, you know, as the risk-free asset from my vantage point. But again, we know that markets don't always go up. I mean, they usually go up. And in this market, I mean, it's all-time highs next week. We've already established that. But from time to time, whether it's, you know, a misprint, right, whether it's just a bad quote feed, whatever, we see some red on the screen. Like, we see some markets going down from time to time. And so it's like, all right, that doesn't really make sense in a world where the expectation should be current price plus positive drift. And so that's just an example of how we, you know, we need to understand theory. We need to understand these theoretical constructs. But we need someone, if only someone was out there to take us across the bridge from theory to practice, man, that'd be so helpful. That would be so, so helpful if someone could do that for us. So, man, hopefully somebody will, maybe starting next week or maybe the week after that. I don't know. But those are my thoughts. So Rick Castellini, I need a little down move from my positions at Grumpy Mike. Yes, Grumpy Mike's feeling a little grumpy today, which, I mean, he has to. He's got to live up to the namesake there. So Boston Frank, the core PCE was unchanged today. Was it unchanged? I thought it was hot. I thought it was up. I thought it was, if I'm not mistaken, because the PCE is a weird number because, like, you get, like, a preliminary PCE yesterday, right? So they kind of give you, like, the appetizer PCE, which was yesterday, which apparently was, like, scorching hot, like, blazing hot, right? And then, obviously, Microsoft and Google come out, and they save the market. Everybody's happy again, and boom, we have, you know, a huge gap up. You know, huge overnight future strength, all that kind of stuff. And then this morning, you know, the main course PCE was actually lower than what was anticipated given the appetizer PCE. And so I don't know, what was it really unchanged or was it just lower, not as hot as they thought it might be? Like, I think they thought it was going to be scalding and it just came in like reasonably hot, right? Like, they kind of thought it was going to be, you know, like Memphis, Tennessee in August. And it actually only ended up being like, I don't know, like Charlotte, North Carolina in August. Right. Memphis, Tennessee in August is the hottest place on earth. I don't care what your own personal experience might be. I don't care what you think is the hottest place on earth. The absolute, the unequivocal objective truth when it comes to the hottest place on earth is Memphis, Tennessee, because it is like an oven there. You cannot escape. You cannot escape the heat. There's no ocean breeze. There's nothing. It is just you and levels of humidity for like 4 months out of the year. So it's basically the exact opposite of Chicago, Illinois. And so Rick Castellini, or I'm sorry, Boston Frank. Yeah, I thought it was up a little bit, but I could be wrong. Rezzo, Dr. Jim, the past is in the future. Yes, it was for me a few minutes ago as I was trying to, you know, fumble through the beginning to the show, but we finally hit, we had a little bit of a rhythm here. And so the working investor, what's going on, working investor? I appreciate you, my friend. What's your rake on yield max option ETF, such as AMZE? Working investor, I've never even heard of AMZE, if I'm just being honest. AMZY. AMZE. It's a yield max option income ETF. Man, I have no idea what this is. So my apologies, working investor, but I really truly have no idea. I've never even heard of this. You know, it could be some type of annuity type of product. It could be some type of like fixed income type of product where they're trying to like package up like, you know, I don't know, short options into like a fund or like some kind of yield or some kind of annuity feature into like a fund. And then they're just going to, you know, just sell it to you that way. And so I don't really, do they have options? They do have options. Wow. Interesting. And so, look at these. Yeah, I'm not touching these. I'm not going to touch these with a 10-foot pole. I mean, look at that. That's not an option. I don't know what that is, but that is complete trash. I mean, look at that bid. Look at that ask. What is this? Is this MSTR? Like, what are we trading here? Like, I don't know what this is, but the liquidity is really bad from an active standpoint. So maybe AMC is helpful in another way. I don't know what that way might be because I'm not familiar with the product. But yeah, working investor, I wish I could help you here, but it doesn't appear to be something you can kind of actively trade and get good prices on, get fair prices on. So I'm going to have to, you know, pass on any activity in here, but shoot me an email. Let me know what this is all about, the AMZ. Like I said, it's probably some type of annuity type of product or some type of fund that is sort of fixed income in nature. But my apologies to the working investor for not being able to help you. But I appreciate you being here, man. I really appreciate you being here very much. And so hopefully you'll come back and participate. Maybe even next time I can help a little bit better. So Paul Heyman, what's going on there, Paul Heyman? I sold some Google calls in my TastyTrade account for income. Of course you did. Another profitable trade. I mean, that's it. You know, that's what I'm saying. Right. So you sold Google calls. So you mean you sold Google calls that you owned? Like you own the Google calls, then it skyrocketed from earnings and then you sold them for profit. That's kind of how I'm reading that. Just because of how things went the last 2 days. Now maybe you had shares and you covered them with short calls and you got the income that way. You know, it could be a number of different ways. As we know, as we've learned on the show, you can sell options for income a number of different ways. Like it's so easy. It's so effortless. It's passive income, right? This is what the internet has assured us. The internet has assured us that selling options is passive income. If by passive, you mean it's going to be incredibly bumpy. And many, many times you are going to be down a significant chunk of money. And so as long as we're defining passive as that, then yeah, it's pretty passive. And so, so Paul Heyman, that's good though. I'm really glad that you were profitable on that Google trade. So Peter Leger, I'm short SPX SBUX Starbucks, a May 85-65 put spread at $1.05. Today is 21 days to go and I'm down a little. Earnings on Tuesday after the close, thinking of holding until Monday. Any opinion? Well, so that's a super wide vertical. So it's going to act a lot more like a naked short put. So I personally don't like to take underwater naked positions through earnings, even a Starbucks earnings, even a bullish Starbucks earnings trade. Okay, so stocks at 88. You know, you said you're down a little. Okay. I would probably take it off personally. I would just take the scratch or take the modest loss and just not worry about it. Because, I mean, obviously, if Starbucks has a bad number, which I don't know if Starbucks has ever had a bad number, but theoretically, they could, of course. It's, you know, essentially 50-50, especially with how the market could potentially react to whatever the number is. I mean, I'd hate to see a still in the trade and Starbucks prints, you know, 77, 76, 75, whatever. And so obviously nobody knows what's going to happen. It could be the wrong move. Maybe staying in is the right move. But I just personally, and I'm pretty consistent with this, you know, anything that's undefined risk or an undefined risk synthetic, which is kind of what you have here, I'm not going to take that through earnings. I'm just going to take it off and just kind of be done with it. So that's what I would do, whether that's today or Monday. I mean, that's up to you because earnings are on Tuesday. So that's what I would do. Well, let's see. Randy Ang says, Dr. Jim, get rid of your UNG position or sell a call each week to minimize your loss. Yeah, you know, the problem with the UNG position is a lot, actually. I don't know if I can narrow it down to just one. But if I go into UNG, there's just not a ton of premium in here, right? Oh, wait a minute. There's actually some decent premium in here. So, Randy, thank you for the encouragement. I probably should have been doing this more regularly. But, I mean, we can go into, you know, May, 21 days to go. Now, let's go to June. Yeah. Yeah, we can. Yeah, I mean, it's a Friday. I'm going to break all the rules, man. I'm going to go into May with 21 days to go, and I'm going to sell this 15 call for 35 cents. And the reason why I'm choosing May with 21 days to go as opposed to June with a lot more days to go, 55 or 60 or whatever, is the premium in the June options at the 15 call was only like 15 or 20 cents more. And I'd be in the trade for another however many weeks and months. I mean, I would love to hang on to these UNG shares if I can and just, you know, I'll hold on to this short call until it withers down to essentially nothing and then buy it back or whatever. And if it rallies up, I'll just let them take the shares and then we'll be done with it. But Randy, you're right. We probably should have been doing this more regularly all along. But let's go ahead. Yeah, let's sell this for, what, 35 cents against our long shares there. Boom, there you go. So thank you, Randy. That's a good call by you. Appreciate you, my friend. So let's see. Lano says, please, devs, yes, on the futures options, Alice in Chains. Yes, that would be great. David Galmore says, no Allison Chains on the futures because each new contract is a different contract. Yeah, maybe. I mean, but I don't buy that as a reason because it's the same thing with equity options. Oftentimes in the Allison Chains, you have different expiration cycles with equity options. And so it's like, I'm not a dev. I don't code. I have no idea how difficult this might be. So I'm not going to even pretend to know. But it's like, all right, we're already doing something similar with equity options. My hope is that this could be something that would show up with futures options. But again, I mean, this is not my area of expertise, not even at all. I'm not even going to pretend like it is. And so when it comes to this, it may not be very high on the priority list. And I understand that. You know, there may be bigger fish to fry. And I totally understand and respect that. And so let's see. Boston Frank says sugar in fruit and fruit juice is okay. Sugar in coffee and soft drinks and cookies and cupcakes is not okay. I'm with you on that for the most part, I think. In a not really kind of way. But yeah, I like that, Boston Frank. Appreciate you. David Gallimore, Alice in Chains was led by Lane Staley. Yes, he died in 2002 of a drug overdose. Yes, he did. And it was really, really sad. And, you know, a lot of those rock guys end up meeting a similar fate. It's really sad. It is really sad. So much talent. And yeah. And then Lano says, Coach Powell is going to get us in shape. Yes, he is. There's no doubt about that. And then let's see. Onal is in the house, or maybe Onal. This might be the last one today. Greetings from Jakarta, Dr. J. Jakarta. This could be our first viewer from Jakarta. And I appreciate you, Onal. It's 1 a.m. there, but I needed to manage some positions. I know I owe you an email, Onal. So just hang with me. I'll get that back to you. I promise. I'm in the MNQ trade, so I look forward to hearing about management. Yes, right now we're in a do-nothing state. This is very much a do-nothing type of situation. And then Arnold says, my strikes are slightly different than yours. I am short 2 17.5 puts and 2 18.50 calls. Yeah, you're in a similar situation, though. John, just give me 20 more seconds. If I go to, well, just NQ. Yeah, you're right smack dab in the middle, Arnold. You're good. You're good to go, right? The stock is right in the middle. You do nothing. In my opinion, you do nothing. Do nothing until when the strikes are tested. So just kick your feet up on the desk and just, you know, just watch the money roll in. And by that, of course, I mean, you're going to be pulling your hair out because this thing's going to be bouncing all over the place. So hopefully that helps you a little bit and gives you just, you know, kind of a pathway forward through the forest. So, man, I appreciate you guys so much. Thanks for coming back. It feels really, really good to be back. And so I'm excited for next week with all the earnings and Uncle Jay's and all these different things. So if I can help you guys in any way, please email me. I am jschultz@tastylive.com, or we can connect on Twitter. I'm at jschultzf3. I would love to hear from you guys on there as well. But stay tuned. We do have Jamal coming up next with Engineering the Trade. In the meantime, guys, trade them small, train them heavy, and stay generous. We'll see you guys on Monday.
The content of this podcast is created, produced, and provided solely by Tasty Life, Inc. and does not represent the direct views or opinions of any of its affiliated companies. This content is for informational and educational purposes only. It is not, nor is it intended to be trading or investment advice or a recommendation that any security, futures contract, digital asset, other product, transaction, or investment strategy is suitable for any person. Trading securities, futures products, and digital assets involve risk and may result in a loss greater than the original amount invested. Tasty Live, Inc., through its content, financial programming, or otherwise, does not provide investment or financial advice or make investment recommendations. The information provided may not be appropriate for all investors and is provided without respect to individual investor financial sophistication, financial situation, investing time horizon, or risk tolerance. Tasty Live, Inc. is not a licensed financial advisor, registered investment advisor, registered broker-dealer, or registered introducing broker.